Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 70.
This week on the podcast, we have breaking news. A baby was born in Britain, so good work, everybody.
And a lack of justice in Florida is still causing near riots elsewhere.
We have a rare point counterpoint on the Rolling Stone cover.
And Canadian immigrant Ted Cruz is currently America's leading immigrant hater slash constitution denier.
John Boehner is America's most important lawmaker, but hates making laws.
And Detroit is mysteriously just now going bankrupt.
Plus, North Dakota's restrictive abortion law gets its day in court and gets laughed out of the room.
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This is Brain Trust Live. Oh boy. We didn't get a podcast recorded over the weekend because I was moving. But thank God, because what would we have done
without news
of the royal baby?
God, it could have been a real tragedy over here.
I mean, I don't know what we would have
wanted. Our listeners might have had to wait a whole week to find out about the royal baby because they certainly don't watch television or read newspapers.
No, I know.
Or live in the world. Someone came into my office like maybe an hour after this baby news had broken. Yeah. And was like, so when are we going to hear about the royal baby? And everyone was like, oh, we heard already. And then really laid into him about how he hadn't heard yet. And I was like, did everyone's like get a cell phone alert about this?
Probably.
I had just found out about it myself. And I, as soon as I found out, was sort of like, oh, okay. And then moved on with my day.
Yeah. It was all the headlines, like, on everything, like, before it even happened. Like, it was just sort of like, we knew she was in labor, and she was in labor for a long time, poor
dear. I know. I sort of was like, HuffPo, couldn't you have had other news on your headline?
Come on.
I mean, I know that when I read Huffington Post, what I do is I scan the headlines at the top and then click on all of the stupid stories about how you know if your husband's cheating on you.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a husband, so he's not cheating on me.
Nope.
But I felt like I wanted to have the semblance of reading some real news.
Nope.
And I couldn't do that.
You couldn't even have headlines that you wanted.
No, I couldn't even find out about something newsy in a headline way and then not read the story and then click on something about people cheating on people.
Yeah.
I read something the other day about penguins. I mean,
I know.
I've been really slumming it on HuffPo since I broke the wrist.
I know. But she had a boy. Right? Big too. 8 pounds, 6 ounces. I sort of wish that she would have had a girl. Just because.
So you could talk about what happens when you have a girl in an outdated...
Well, no. Now it doesn't matter.
I know.
So that's what I wanted. I wanted a girl to be, like, the next in line.
So that
like,
we could discuss it. Yeah.
I know. But,
because in this day and age, did they change it so that a girl can be the first in line? Doesn't have to be a guy?
Sort of recently. Right?
I think it was a recent thing, too. I know. This boy is ruining everything, obviously.
Yeah. They have some weird systems to let baby news be known
over in England. Some woman had to carry a paper that they posted at a gate, and then everyone took a picture.
They put it up on an easel. Don't do that.
And then we still don't know the name, because that hasn't gone up on the easel yet.
No, and there's no rules for that.
No, it's like that could happen anytime.
Lawless country over there when it comes to releasing babies.
For
Harry's, it was like an hour, and for like...
William was like a week or something.
A week, and then like Charles, when they had him, like...
William was a month.
Oh, William was a month, yeah. They never even said...
That's a long time.
No. Oh, their father's name.
Charles. Yeah. God forbid we get that information wrong. Lose our credibility entirely.
We have credibility?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
It's personal credibility. So the child's title is His Royal Highness Prince Blank Name of Cambridge. What if they named him Blank Name in a sort of Northwest style? What if we could get some really exciting royal names started? It would be one of the better things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
We won't, because the British royals are boring.
No, it's going to be like...
Why are we so excited? We live in America. We fought a revolution to get away from these people.
I know, but we love it.
I know. It was like the wedding. It was like everyone was nuts about the wedding. There was like a Times Square party. And I was like, are you guys really gathering in Times Square so another country's prince and princess can be married?
Right. I wonder what the process is for like first photos.
Oh, yeah. Do they go to OK Magazine?
I was going to say, are they going to sell them for like the highest bidder?
$1 million? Possibly.
Yeah.
It's a real Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt.
Did you hear what Kim and Kanye did?
No.
They before they released like the actual picture, like they gave all of their friends different pictures that were not the actual baby to like see which one of them was going to sell them out.
That's some sneaky nonsense.
Yeah.
P.S.
And one of them did. Of course.
Well, of course one of them
But it wasn't the right picture. But they sort of, they did it just to, like, catch them.
That's sneaky.
Sneaky.
if you're worth that kind of money and you're planning to hand out photos that are worth a lot of money to your friends, like, don't be angry when you're...
Also, but, like, that's when you just sort of, like, I mean...
They don't have any
I was
going
to say,
though.
That's the problem. It's just sort of, like, you need to, like, reassess your friends at a certain point, because, like, that's
Well, there's no way for them to do that, because they don't... No. They're not even really friends with each other. Like, they don't have any, like, real relationships with people, I would think. So I think it's... If you're in that circumstance, I think that you should just accept that one of your friends might sell you out. Not worry about it. Because why are you, like, why are you allowing your baby to become a commodity anyway?
Right.
Like, your baby's only a commodity because you allowed the baby to be a commodity, because you're a commodity.
Right.
So, if your friend's going to sell you out, it's only because you've commodified your being and your baby's being. So, like, screw you for trying to keep your
baby. I don't have any thoughts about Kim and Kanye actually sort of, like, being a, like, a real couple. I mean, they're just sort
of the
classic marriage of rapper and slut.
Exactly.
A famous combination. Tale as old as time, basically.
Yeah. It's the whole... how it works.
Anyway, so glad we could bring that to you.
Thank God.
Breaking news.
We got that in.
Yeah.
Could have been...
Otherwise, we would have had to have led with Trayvon Martin, which...
For shame. Could have been...
We're going to get into now.
Yeah.
But we talked about this last week.
And... It's still news.
People are potentially more news. I mean, it just happened last Saturday, and we did the podcast on Sunday, so we sort of were just bringing the initial reactions. But this
week
has been
protests
crazy
all week.
Yeah,
like at one point, and like like in Beverly Hills, there was a protest.
Well, it turns out people aren't against legalized murder.
Yeah, that's what it turns out.
A thing that people don't like.
Yeah, surprisingly,
who would have thought?
No one, and they even don't like it when it's only applied to white people.
I know.
People are still angry when only white people have the right to murder people.
Shocking.
Which is, you know.
You know who doesn't like that? Non-whites.
And potentially
and
other white people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no one who wins in a circumstance in which white people are just running around murdering whoever they want.
I know.
They're sneaky bastards.
Yeah.
And I say this as a white person.
Yeah, me
I'm
too.
I'm a sneaky bastard too.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be allowed to go murder anyone I want.
No, not at all.
I have a lot of thoughts about who I would murder, but I've never acted on it. It's not legal.
No. I know. But the Justice Department announced last week that they are, they're going to look at it and see if they're going to file criminal civil rights charges against George Zimmerman.
Which is what the NAACP had been advocating, that we talked about that last week.
Well, and the Justice Department had said, like a year or so ago, that they were sort of just going to let this process play out, but like that it was on their radar. So this is not necessarily new, but I'm glad that they... They came out pretty quickly. I think this was like on Monday or Tuesday after the verdict came out. They were on it.
This blew up, I think, in a way that Florida stupidly didn't predict. Because with all the media attention, I think they sort of thought that once the verdict came through, there'd be sort of like interest for a while in the tabloid sense, but there wouldn't really be any reaction.
Yeah.
And this is like, we've been having protests every day in LA for like a week now.
Yeah.
In LA, where we don't have a stand your ground law.
No.
Like, I'm not even sure like what we're protesting in a specific sense, because we're just sort of protesting the injustice of it all.
Yeah.
And that's because there's a lot of injustice going on.
Tons.
Because someone got away with murder, publicly.
Yes.
Public murder.
Declared they had done it. We knew he did it. He incited the incident, which allowed him to commit the murder.
Right.
And then away
he went.
Then
just went ahead, murdered somebody, and everyone was like, cool. This is Florida. You can do that here.
Right.
And there's been... there's been some near riot-like incidents as well, because these
which
are not... Which
you
is,
don't want. But.
You don't want. And it sort of... I was sort of like, God, like, I hope they... This is the type of incident that incited the L.A. riots. Like, if this had happened in L.A., we would have had riots here.
Probably.
Because the economy is shitty, and if the police had been misbehaving here, I mean, as they were when Rodney King was, you know, basically... when that incident basically incited the riots here, I mean, this could have been a similar type of thing, where, like, a jury of... you know, six white people basically, like, came and decided that it's okay for someone to murder black teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the same type of racially charged, totally inappropriate incident that could have, if it had been something that people could do something about here, could have caused some real problems here. I'm surprised that they're not having, like, full-out riots in Florida right now. Because if I were in Florida, after, you know, if you're black in Florida right now, like, you can barely vote. You don't have any social services. Like, you don't have shit going on for you. So, I mean, I'm surprised that there's not riots going on there, because now you're also allowed to be murdered at any point.
Yeah.
You've lost every civil right that's possible to lose.
Yeah. Life.
Your right to life.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a civil right, I think.
That is a civil right, yeah. That's why they're investigating this, because Trayvon Martin was robbed of his civil rights by being killed, because you have a right to not be killed.
Correct.
That's one of your civil rights.
Yeah.
In any case, Obama made another speech on race because of this.
Yes.
Because, as we now know, it's super dangerous to be a black teenager in America.
Yes. Well,
and he once was.
And he's been taking a lot of heat on the right from this, and some from the left, because I think that they didn't think that. But I don't know what people wanted him to say, but I think a lot of the heat that he's taking from the right, I think, is from people who are just sort of like mad that he made a speech on race and
they
didn't actually listen to the thing, because it was quite good.
Yeah,
I watched it.
And oh yeah, Brent's all about this speech.
I loved it.
I was talking about this earlier with Brent, because he asked me if I watched the speech, because Brent always watches the speech. Whenever there's a speech, he's watched it. And I have realized I'm not much of a presidential speech watcher. It's a little bit too much theater for me.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and this was actually a surprise appearance.
Right. Yeah. Well, yes. He just sort of popped out and made a speech.
Yeah, and it was like 17 minutes, and he spoke extemporaneously, but it was, I mean, lovely.
A great speaker.
Yeah, he's a great speaker.
That's why he's president.
But, you know, he's sort of, at least, you know, famously when this first happened, sort of said, you know, my son would look like Trayvon.
Right.
And he sort of took it one step further in this and said, I could have been Trayvon 35 years ago, which I think just sort of like made it even more personal.
Right.
But he said, and that's what people have been like jumping on, that he sort of like is inciting that this whole, you know,
he could have been a teenager eating
like that.
Skittles.
But I mean, he said so much more than that. I mean, he said quite eloquently, he was like, in terms of the Stand Your Ground law, he was like, if there is any chance to where it becomes ambiguous whether Trayvon would have had a gun and could have been able to retaliate with that gun, if that makes the situation even at least like sort of like ambiguous, then what does this law really mean? And I think that's such that like that's the question. Like, I mean, had Zimmerman came up behind him, he'd been following him, you're a 17-year-old kid, I mean, could he have shot George Zimmerman? And if you don't know the answer to that, then you can't have a law like that.
Exactly.
You can't have a law where you don't know whether it's okay for both people to just be shooting at each other arbitrarily.
Exactly.
Like,
that one of the parties will never be able to advocate for themselves and explain their side of the story because they won't be there.
Right.
Like, that's why it's a civil rights law, because he can't represent himself now.
Well, right.
His side of the story is unknown because he's dead.
Right. Well, and he also said, too, and this is what made me so mad that everybody was jumping on him from the right, because if you watch the whole thing, I mean, he sort of really parsed his words. And he even said, he was like, I don't think there's anybody in the African-American community who is sort of blind to the fact that that too much violence is black on black.
Right.
So all of these people who are just sort of like, he's trying to incite the race war and
nonsense.
He's not trying to do that. He's trying to make sure that teenagers just aren't being shot regardless of race or regardless of by who the shooting race is. I mean, it's just sort of like, you just don't go around shooting everybody, which was the main point of the whole speech.
From the example in Florida, where a black woman was put in jail for 20 years for firing a warning shot and she was being attacked.
Right. Well, and that's why I think he's getting some flack from the left, is because I think that they want him to sort of, like, be a little harder on this. But it's like,
he's not a guy who does that.
You can't
make him into a president that he's not.
But I think that's also what he's good at, because he was able to sort of give this speech and I think sort of...
Well, and I think specifically on the issue of race, he's the first president we've ever had who can draw on personal experience to tell...
Right.
To sort of talk about this. So I think more powerful coming from
him. He's had to do this so many times because of all of the sort of, like, coded race language that the Clintons were spouting at him in 2008, which I'm sure they all were declaring they weren't doing, but clearly they were.
Yeah.
I mean, so...
There's been nothing but race language going on during his presidency.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, it's worth coming up, because if there's one thing that the Supreme Court doesn't seem to know, but that everyone in America has learned in the last 8 years, it's that racism has not gone away.
Yeah, exactly.
If we can't have a black president without everyone constantly trying to undermine him by referencing his race in sneaky ways, then we haven't gotten rid of racism.
Right.
And so this is, I mean, this is just sort of like such a blatantly obvious example that it's sort of like, you know, absurd.
But Sean Hannity, of course, didn't love this speech.
No.
And had some dumb choice words in response to this. It's just sort of like, so when he said, now the president saying Trayvon could have been me 35 years ago, this is a particularly helpful comment. Is that the president admitting that, I guess, because what, he was part of the Choom gang and he smoked pot and he did a little blow? I'm not sure how to interpret, because we know that Trayvon had been smoking pot that night.
Let me tell you who else was smoking pot that night. Every resident of California.
Right. Well,
the entire state.
Do you know what pot doesn't make you do?
Murder people.
Be super aggressive to someone who might be following you on the street.
Exactly.
Might make you a little paranoid that someone who was following you on the street, but not in a way that you're not going to attack them.
No.
On
you're
weed. You
would more likely stare at your fingers and wonder why they're wiggling without you than attack
just
them.
Slowly lumber away in fear, potentially.
Right.
I mean,
potentially fear that you're not quite expressing normally because you're just lumbering.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is sort of like a classic right-wing attempt to vilify Trayvon for something that is legal in many states, that is so absurdly common that, you know, I mean, 50% of the neighborhood was probably smoking pot that night.
Probably.
The entire state of California was.
Yeah.
I was probably accidentally inhaling secondhand pot smoke because every one of my neighbors is
around
constantly
here.
Smoking pot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, no one's so far murdered any of the neighbors.
No.
Knock on wood.
No.
Which we can do now because we're at a table.
Yes.
We're in a real rickety sound studio over here.
We're back at Lila's, so there could be babies.
Could be babies, dogs, cars.
Ray-Ray won't be here. But...
Ray-Ray won't be here, but every other dog in the world lives within 3 feet of my window.
There's a lot of cat gangs, too, but luckily
The cat gangs are out of control. They're getting
Lila's
bigger and bigger.
There are like six
you know what? It's the gray cats.
The gray
cats. The white-spotted cats went away. The gray cats took over the whole neighborhood, and I think they merged with another gray cat gang. And then there's another cat that lives somewhere, obviously, because it's always shaved like a lion.
Oh, God.
The lion cat. And the lion cat is very alarming because it will stand in front of my front door and just sort of stare at you as you exit the building.
Is it the leader?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's the leader or sort of a reluctant follower. It seems to sort of operate on its own a lot of the time, but I've seen it in cahoots with the cat with the gray cats before. So... I'm not really sure what its position is. I'm wondering, he's either the Don of the cat gang.
Yeah.
Or he's sort of like trying to be an outdoor cat, but he's an indoor cat. And is sort of like aspiring, so he's a little bit more aggressive because he's trying to impress them.
Right, he's trying to,
Here's what's not impressive. Being a cat that is shaved like a lion. You look absurd. No. Poor cat. And this cat is doing some serious staring. It's staring down the whole neighborhood. It's just walking up and down the street staring at people.
God, cats are just... So
they are the worst. Jill's cat is maybe a dog, P.S. But
she went away for the weekend and it took clothes out of her closet and sat them on her bed.
Yeah, in like single white female style.
That's what I said. I was like, next time she's going to be wearing the clothes.
Yeah.
And she's going to have Jill's haircut.
Oh my God. Terrifying.
That's what's going
to
happen.
How much time would it take for both of them to get ready in the morning?
Oh God. Yeah, it's true.
Anyway,
But even John McCain...
Yeah, Sandra Brown is getting some talk, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it has to.
It's crazy pants law.
If nothing else comes from this, like...
Let's get rid of this fucking thing.
Right, and that's what I'm hoping people are starting to focus on this, because you and I talked about this on the podcast a while ago, that, like, we hope people will sort of see that this is the problem. Sure, are there racial issues going on? I mean, that can be debated. I would say that yes, there are. But
I would argue it can't be debated.
I would argue it can't be debated too. But there
would
be some who
I would argue
debate
that people
otherwise.
Might argue that it can be debated.
But that is not necessarily quickly and or easily fixed.
Also, stand your ground is even if there were no problems with race in the country, even white people shooting each other legally is a problem.
Correct. Well, and that the thing that is
there's
so,
no time that this is a good law.
The thing that is so upsetting about this law, and I think what is so upsetting about this case, is that you can sort of argue, like, once the situation started, like, what happened? There were no eyewitnesses. There were people who said that Trayvon was on top. Like, but the problem is that George Zimmerman was the one who incited
the
fight.
Everything that followed.
Because he followed and approached when he was told by police officers not to.
Yeah.
And so... That's what's problematic, and that's what's problematic about this law. Like, it doesn't allow for any context, necessarily.
Exactly.
Because what happens if somebody were to break into our house right now, and we were to threaten them? Could they shoot us under the stand your ground law? It's the same principle.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, well, it's exactly the same principle.
They came in here and then incited a situation that then allowed them to murder us.
Exactly. That's, well, and that's, I think, why
I think any reasonable person
is sort of like the perfect example of why this law is such a stupid law.
Right.
Because this is like, we have a guy, we know, first of all, that he had been known to have racist feelings. So we already know that he's a guy who could have approached Trayvon for the wrong reasons. There's a very good reason that, you know, to believe that Trayvon was not in any way doing anything suspicious other than just being black in the street.
Right. Wearing a hoodie.
Wearing a hoodie, which, as we know from Geraldo, is a dangerous thing to be doing.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, there should be no circumstance under which you can threaten someone and then legally murder them for responding to your threat. And that's exactly what happened here.
Right.
Even if Trayvon had immediately pulled out a gun, like, don't approach random people in an aggressive manner in the middle of the night on the street when it's sort of raining and all they're trying to do is eat some damn Skittles and then be shocked when you get attacked because you've threatened them.
Right.
Like, that's the problem with this law.
Yeah.
There's no good time to use it.
No. But anyway, even John McCain, who's...
Yeah.
I don't know, been acting sort of reasonable lately.
Well, when he acts reasonable, it's usually in service of him later not acting reasonable.
Well, that could very well be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's,
the other big controversy of the week.
Oh, God.
The stupid Rolling Stones cover.
Yes.
Not the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stone, the magazine.
Rolling Stones did a cover of... No.
No. It wasn't a song. It was a magazine cover.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones were not involved.
No.
They just happened to have a magazine with a similar name.
Yes.
Is it named after them?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. anyway, they put the Boston Bomber on the cover.
Oh, boy.
And me and Brent sort of disagree about this strategy. We both agree that this was an absurd thing for everyone to be obsessing about all week.
Yes.
That's not where our disagreement stands.
I understand why people are upset, but, like, sort of, then just don't read it.
People,
but, like, also,
people are upset
sort of
because,
like,
it glamorizes this guy who's a terrorist.
Which, fine.
Right.
I get. I mean, it's... And personally, I just think that it was dumb of them to do, just
this is,
in terms of, like, why would you do that? It's not...
Our disagreement is whether or not it was dumb of them to do. I maintain that it was genius of them to do. Because when is the last time I talked about Rolling Stone? Not since Matt Taibbi was writing election coverage. And that was only because I'm on the far left. But this was obviously intended to be in poor taste and intended to be controversial because that was their whole strategy because they were trying to sell a magazine and they thought this would be a genius way to do it. Whether or not that worked is open to discussion.
Right.
We'll
probably know whether it worked at some point.
As is whether or not magazines are selling to anyone at the moment.
Right.
But it sort of misleads you about the content of the article because it's supposed to be a really interesting article that is...
Well, that's the other thing, too.
Well-researched kind of like...
If people could read...
Right, which
or chose
sadly
to read,
can't.
Then it would have been a different story. I understand that just sort of the image, you know, glamorizes things, but I mean, like, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, it sort of, like, had you... I mean, I didn't read the whole thing, but, like, knowing what the content of it is, I mean, it's an important thing for people to have read because, like, that's the other reason why it sort of makes me feel like it's a little stupid that they did this because, like, I think it's sort of, you know, it examines to a degree sort of like how someone like him
ends up
being a jihadist, basically. And that's also why they chose that photograph because I think they wanted for people to remember that, like, at one point, like, he was
just
a normal child.
Well, that's, which, I think that it was... I think they knew it would be controversial, but I also think that they were sort of making a statement with the cover because the cover is sort of like... Because, basically, like, this is not the kid who started the jihad, the brother's jihad.
Yeah.
His brother was a little crazy.
Right.
He got kind of sucked into this weird world that he was not really mature enough to understand.
Right.
And... This is sort of like, this is like when we had, you know, the Britney Spears cover where she's suddenly, like, not dressed enough and she's, like, 16 on that Rolling Stone cover.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of controversy where it's sort of seeking to examine, that was about how we sexualize teenagers, basically.
Right. She didn't try and kill anybody.
No, but this is about how we glamorize terrorists
yes.
and we glamorize sort of, like, people in the news cycle for the wrong reasons. And that is sort of like the statement that they're making with the cover.
Yeah, I think the idea behind it was, anyway, other than to be controversial, is what has to happen to this kid
to make him a terrorist. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what the article examines.
About. Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing to examine because this is a very...
Well, it's an important thing to examine because we have this happening in America.
Exactly.
And it would be good to know why.
Right. Well, and this is an interesting case because it's such a good sort of like... Much like Trayvon Martin was a good was a perfect sort of like example of why Stand Your Ground is not working.
Right.
This is like a perfect example of why we still have problems with terrorism even though we've tried to kill everyone in the Middle East so far.
Right.
Like... This is because there are homegrown issues. There are kids that don't know better. He's almost like a victim of his own situation in a lot of ways. And that's part of the story, is that this sort of normal American teenager, or would be normal American teenager, like had this brother who was kind of creepy, like had these issues, had these family issues, had sort of like an interest in this issue that was rooted in actual injustice. But It's definitely, I think, sort of like, it's I think they sort of did it knowing that it would this way, and I think that was their intention.
I think so, too. My guess is that they maybe got a little more backlash than they thought they were going to get, and probably had less people buy it on the newsstands, is my guess.
P.S. We have an odd jumping spider in the room.
I tried to step on it very casually just a second ago, but now there's a broom involved.
Now I'm,
so.
I got nervous because the spider literally jumped out of the way.
Yeah, what's
now
what
I'm going
want?
After it with a Swiffer. I killed it. It's gone.
Nice.
Spider's dead.
One armed.
Yeah, I don't fool around with spiders. I once got a very bad spider bite.
Oh, God.
And I had to take steroids, and I had to take antibiotics, and I couldn't sit down. And for some reason, it made my whole left side feel weird and tingly.
Yeah.
I mean, my right side. I don't know my right from my left, yes. And it was the first week that I worked at Stun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was the first week. It was the week me and Brent met.
Oh, I think I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That fateful day.
Fateful day. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite senator, maybe other than Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
I'm just...
When are these two going to start tag teaming, P.S.?
The Tracy Flick of the Senate.
Yeah.
Kirsten Gillibrand is just winning sort of at life.
Managed
right now.
Nag Rand Paul and Ted Cruz into supporting a military sexual assault bill.
Like, what? Those two? I read that story and I was like, this
is
has
bonkers.
To be fake. Because, what? That is some strange bed fellows right there.
Well, she's the master. Because this is her strategy, and it was illuminated for us upon the passage of the 9/11 health bill.
Right.
Because Harry Reid told us as much.
Right.
What he said about
that... Politico article sort of told us as much,
and,
too, but carry on.
Reid tells us as much. So Brent is wearing a rubber band.
Just put a rubber band on my head. Sort of headband. Very Hillary Clinton-inspired. Inspired headwear.
So anyway, at the press conferences... On the signing of the 9/11 health bill, Harry Reid, who's a very rickety old man, you don't realize this until you see him in person, basically said that every single time that Kirsten Gillibrand saw him anywhere, she just nagged him to death about this 9/11 health bill. She just would not shut up.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, basically in as sort of genteel a way as he could, basically said that he just sort of like, at a certain point, had to bring it to a vote to get her to shut the fuck up. Like, she was just sort of like nagging him left, right, and center. It was annoying him to death. She wouldn't go away, and that's how she got the bill passed. And that's how you get Rand Paul and Ted Cruz to support your military sexual assault bill.
Yeah.
You just, every time you see them, you just nag them to death.
Yeah, and the thing that is surprising about this is because this would be sort of like a come-from-behind victory for her if she's able to get this.
Yeah.
Because she's been adding people to it sort of like fairly frequently.
Right.
And
it's up to 32 co-sponsors.
Right, and article talked about like one of her aides who basically is just sort of like, we've got a whiteboard up in the office and we've got the yes and the no's and the maybes, and she's basically just, you know, making any of the no's and maybes lives miserable, basically is what
she does.
That's what she does.
That's how she gets things done. You know what?
And
that's what you have to fucking do in the Senate.
Because Carl Levin and I think it's Claire McCaskill, I can't remember, I didn't put it on here, but have sort of like a more moderate bill. Basically what her bill does is sort of like takes any of the reporting
out of the chain of command,
which is sort of like what the problem is. And there is another bill that has some bipartisan support that doesn't do that, but sort of like still sort of like makes some, you know, vague changes question. Or whatever.
Why would you not want to just take this out of the chain of command?
Well, and that's
like immediately just remove that.
And even Ted Cruz was sort of like, a lot of our allies have done this. Like Israel has done this. Yeah. Like Britain has done this. Like most.
This seems like a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of like.
Why would you protect this system right, that's like, failed so miserably?
When your boss, you know, sexually assaults you, then you wouldn't report it to your boss. I mean, that just sounds like a bad plan.
Right. That's not an effective strategy.
He knows.
Exactly.
And he's not telling anybody else.
No, exactly.
I mean, it's like.
And because, especially in an institution that is so paternalistic,
right.
to allow something like this to not be outside of the chain of command, in an institution that has not really, that only recently even allowed women sort of like the same responsibilities as men, yeah. like, why wouldn't you? What, right. Why not? What are we losing by right. doing that?
But it's also just curious that she was able to get both of those two, because the military is obviously like vehemently against this.
Yeah.
So it's... just sort of...
Yeah, I mean, to get some far-right people is, like, a real victory.
Right, almost. So, I mean, I think it's... they were saying, it's like, she would... The fact that the military is against this, the fact that there's sort of, like, a more moderate bill, like, if she can get this passed, like, what can she do? She needs to be trying to get everything that we want passed, because...
She just needs to be... Well, and she's so far, what she's done, because she's a younger senator, is that... She's picked these sort of smaller issues that are easy to kind of, like, compartmentalize. You know, she picked getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and she picked the 9/11 health bill, and she picked these issues that are not, like, Obamacare.
Right.
And it's sort of, like, chipping away at these little issues where people feel like they can maybe support them because it'll be a little under the radar. And then, you know, she just sort of, like, nags everyone to death until they're like, I cannot fucking stand another moment of this woman... Can we just pass this bill and get her out of my hair?
Right.
Which is her great strength.
But she's building up a great resume because I mean, she really has...
doing an amazing job
for
this.
For the amount of time that she's been... I mean, she's only just started her second term.
She's had more bills passed than any of these fucking guys who were just sitting around not doing anything. Who've been there for 30 years.
And they have been some pretty... I mean, the fact... Yeah. She really led the way on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Exactly.
The 9/11 health bill had
Schumer
been
jumped
stalled
in front of the cameras.
Years.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it,
10
it was
years,
also
really.
The 9/11 health bill started in the Congress. They couldn't agree on a bill there. It was chaos over there.
Yeah. She just made sure it got done.
Hillary Clinton was sitting on that for years. And she just sort of got in there and was like, well, I'm just going to fucking talk about this for nonstop. And then what happened was basically, you know, she's got a very effective ally when she has him in Chuck Schumer because he's sort of like the second in command on the Democratic side. So she has a guy who can sort of hit a close, you know, do the closing for her, basically. Yeah. And so she just sort of, like, brought him in as a closer and had nagged everyone to the point where they were like, well, I just can't deal with this anymore. I want her to stop.
I'm obsessed with her.
She's amazing. It's crazy to think that just a few years ago, she was one of my most hated congresspeople.
I know.
Because she was a terrible congresswoman. Like, one of the worst. She was basically a glorified Republican. She was in love with guns. She was doing all the wrong things. Her office, when I went to go meet with them, I met with a staffer who was from Florida who had no idea what the hell was going on in the district.
Right.
It's a disaster.
She was my grandparents' upstate district
congresswoman. She was the first Democrat we'd had in that district in a long time, so it was exciting that we got a Democrat, right. and she had to be conservative to get elected in that district. But she was just sort of one of those terrible Democrats who goes around blocking good things and not voting for other good things because she's just like a... you know, trying to represent Tea Partiers as a Democrat, blossomed into a much more effective senator than Hillary Clinton ever was. And Hillary Clinton had all this supposed power.
Right.
Because she was so sort of like, she was so well integrated into the system. But Hillary Clinton is a compromiser. She's not a nagger.
No.
If we've learned anything, it's that you want, and this is why I think probably Anthony Weiner is probably kind of an effective congressperson.
Right.
He's probably fucking annoying.
At a certain point, you just don't want to deal with him anymore.
Exactly. You're
you don't
like,
want to
well,
look at his face.
Get this squeeze out of here. You know?
What does he want from me?
Exactly.
Tell me what he wants.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
That's how you get stuff done.
But she seems lovely, though.
Well, she's very nice in person. She's certainly not ruining any lives.
No.
I mean, she's, except for the lives of people that deserve to be ruined because of stalling legislation right. that needs to pass.
Yeah.
No, she's doing everything. Yeah. Right. She's
oh,
just...
God, bless her heart.
I know. She and Elizabeth Warren would be a great power team as president.
Oh, my
for
God.
President, for a presidential ticket.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Or I'd just be, co-presidents.
Co-presidents, yeah. I'd be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
Just going ahead. Because let's just skip it, skip skip ahead entirely and go with two women.
Well, I know.
Men are fucking everything up. Let's.
I really want the first woman from a major party to just pick another woman.
Yeah.
They're not going to.
No.
But just, that like, would do it. Really make me happy, because it's just sort of like,
why not?
Why not?
Exactly.
Right.
And I think actually that wouldn't be as destructive as they think it would be.
Probably not.
Because it still is a town controlled by men. It's not like they'd be without male, you know,
yeah.
supervision, if you will.
Ooh, I bought this town.
Oh.
Have you heard of this book?
Yeah.
I bought it. I haven't started reading it, though. As soon as I read it, we'll have, like, a book review.
Yeah, that's a good idea. As soon as you read it, give it to me, and I will read it over a weekend.
I bought it on iBooks.
Oh, well, you're a jerk. You can lend it to me. Can't you?
Oh, can I?
Yeah, I have a Kindle. Oh, iBooks. I don't know. What are you doing on iBooks?
I've been using it.
You have a Kindle.
Well, not anymore, though.
No. Oh, right, you gave your Kindle.
Yeah.
Away.
I mean, I have a Kindle app, but, like, I've been...
You have a Kindle app.
I know. Anyway. Oh, so, speaking of Ted Cruz, who's now, you know...
He's now...
In bed with Kirsten Gillibrand.
Right. Also, he's in bed with all the primary states, though he's denying the speculation that he's running for president.
And hanging out in Iowa a lot.
Yeah, he went to New Hampshire. Like, these aren't states... First of all, no person has ever gone to Iowa for any other reason in a political... Like, no politician is, like, making house calls to Iowa for any other reason. Like, there's nothing else happening in Iowa besides primaries. It's a state that you go to, like... I have never been to Iowa.
Although there was a lovely article that I sent you about.
Brent is trying to convince us to go to Iowa.
To go to Des Moines on vacation.
I would maybe go to Iowa now that I'm friends with Brent, but it's not something that I would have independently thought to do.
No.
And I certainly don't think Ted Cruz, Canadian Ted Cruz from Texas, would have had a reason to be there.
No.
So he's trying to run for president, but he's also trying to deny that he's running for president. And then, in his denial, is also trying to explain why he's eligible.
Which is not.
Which is not, because he's ineligible, because he's Canadian.
Correct.
He seems to believe, despite the fact that the same logic doesn't seem to apply to our current president, because they're still trying to convince us that he was born in Kenya and therefore ineligible, even though his mother was born in the U.S.
Right. That's Ted Cruz's
same story.
Reason.
Except...
His mother is a U.S. citizen.
Except that Obama was actually born in the U.S.,
right.
making him
and
a
his
U.S.
And his mother
citizen.
Is actually also a U.S. citizen.
Exactly.
Citizen. Of that we know.
Right. We have even more reason to believe that Obama is qualified to be president, and yet Ted Cruz here... seems to believe that as a person who has one American parent, despite the fact that he never got his American citizenship until recently, is somehow qualified, even though the Constitution clearly states that you have to be a natural-born American citizen. Immigrants are not eligible to be president.
Right. Which is funny, because he is an immigrant, but we've also learned this week...
That he hates them.
he hates all...
He doesn't want anyone else to be able to come. Now that he's here, he wants us to stop.
Seal the borders.
Yeah. Well, he believes that he's a natural-born American citizen as a person who was born in Canada to one American parent.
Yeah.
So he believes that he has the right to be here, despite the fact that he had to be naturalized in 2005 because he didn't have the right to be here before then.
Yeah. But this week he said that the Gang of Eight bill grants amnesty, and so he doesn't like that because he says it's profoundly unfair.
Yes.
Was the term that he used.
Yes. All the unfairness that's going on.
Just round up all 12 million of them and send them away.
The ones that are making our country function because they do all the low-wage labor that we won't do.
Yeah.
Just send them back to the country where they possibly left generations ago.
My parents live in Yuma, which is the winter vegetable capital of the world, which sounds like a ridiculous thing. But literally, I mean, they basically grow, like, the nation's vegetables. Yeah. Like,
if you're eating
winter,
lettuce in the winter, it's probably from Yuma.
As we've talked about on the podcast before, it's basically south of Mexico.
Exactly.
And I can tell you that we would not be eating winter vegetables.
If it were not for... undocumented Mexican immigrants.
Correct.
And
we would have no winter vegetables.
Migrant labor. And all of the people who make our food supply possible.
Among other things.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just one example that sort of hits close to me.
This is the kind of issue that gets legal immigrants really worked up. Because they feel like they had to go sit through this complicated system that's a huge pain in the ass. And they get really angry if they think someone's sneaking around.
Right.
Getting around this, as if waiting 10 years and having to go through all this bullshit is somehow getting around the system.
Right. But they also, people who are doing that, and I don't want to sort of like, you know, downplay the fact that they did that, because sure, good for them. But my guess is that Ted Cruz wasn't trying to escape a land where he was sort of in fear of death and not being able to feed his family.
He stupidly left Canada where he had health care.
I know.
And came to a country where no one can afford it.
He should have stayed for various reasons. Exactly. But, I mean, if nothing else, for free health care. But, I mean, he didn't have to come up with a plan to, you know, like, risk life to cross the border to, you know...
Right.
To make money to feed his family.
Exactly.
But, like, that's not the predicament that Ted Cruz was
in. Right. So he's not really able to fairly assess whether or not other people are somehow, like, gumming up the works for everybody because they've already... And, you know, this law apply... You have to be here for, like, a zillion years for this law to apply to you anyway.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be here illegally. It's a pain in the ass. There's a lot... You have to live in fear constantly of being deported. You have... You, like, can't set up a bank account. You can't do all these things that, like... make everyone else's lives happen.
Right.
So there's, and for a lot of people who come here illegally, they end up having kids here, they end up having families here, and their kids are American citizens. These are all things that make it difficult to deport people. Because once you have American children, it's difficult to be like, we're just going to send your parents back. You can stay, you're five, but you're fine, right? Like, you know, you can't do that. Just like, there's nothing about Ted Cruz's predicament that is at all relevant to the realities of immigration. But as a politician in Texas, you would hope that he would understand.
You would think he would know.
Because the reason that we understand so well...
Is because we live in Los Angeles. Right.
But also, this is the kind of issue that, like, I don't particularly care if people come here illegally.
Well, I don't... Ren has always said
that there shouldn't be such a thing as illegal.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an illegal person. I think that's a Dennis Kucinich line, but I've always ran with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that. I mean,
that's not a thing. And especially for a country where everyone's families came here for some sort of reason that should make them relate to people who come here undocumented now. I mean, I'm not even sure my own family came here legally because...
Who knows?
How does anybody know? My great-grandmother did not find out that she wasn't a U.S. citizen until she was in her 50s. She'd been voting here and had a passport. And then during McCarthyism, they suddenly told her that she wasn't a citizen. And she was like, oh, interesting. But, you know...
Who knows how that happened?
She was white and Protestant, so they just let her become one. No one said anything.
Right.
You know, she was married to a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, she wasn't brown. So.
But, I mean, these are all things that even someone with my background can relate to. Because everyone came here from somewhere.
Why can't he?
So, like, what? Ted Cruz came so recently, why can't he remember?
He's terrible. Yeah.
And sometimes we don't make the most generous choices about who can come here and who can't in the States, too.
No, because...
You know, we were turning away boatloads of Jews during the Holocaust. Like, they were escaping to save life and limb.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. So, I mean, you know, we can't be trusted always to know what's going on.
We can't.
But also, Ted Cruz can't be trusted to know anything because he's Canadian.
And John Boehner also can't be trusted to know anything because...
Because he doesn't believe in doing his own job.
No. Well, and he also is, in terms of immigration, he apparently doesn't know. He doesn't have an opinion.
No, he's not sure yet. He's waiting until the Tea Party tells him whether or not they will disown him and make trouble.
Correct.
So, basically what I read this as is that Boehner does believe in a path to citizenship personally. Because he wouldn't be undecided.
I think that he... Probably does. I don't like
him,
certainly.
We're talking about a man who is moved to tears by his own story of coming up from nothing.
I know. It's true.
This man believes in a path to citizenship personally. He just isn't sure that he cares enough about what's
right
to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Because
and that's
if
what
he
you...
didn't believe in a path to citizenship, he wouldn't have a problem saying it as a Republican.
Right. And that's what I don't like about John Boehner.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
He's an asshole. There are times where I sort of... want to like him and or feel bad for him.
There are times you need to do what's right, though.
Exactly. And
he can't just always be walking around waiting to see what the Tea Party's going to say.
I was going to say, he doesn't always seem to know when those times are.
No.
It seems to be very few and far between.
He has yet to remember to find one of those times.
Exactly.
He's not identifying them correctly.
And he's in a spot. I get it. But at some point...
Like, I feel like this is the kind of spot, though, that he could be in where, like, it's like gay marriage. I feel like... He could just be a person that says that he's for a path to citizenship, and it would be possible for other moderate Republicans to say that all of a sudden.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like Obama being like, you know what, who cares if gays get married? And then suddenly everyone was like, oh, wait, I don't actually care about this. Like, why was I so against it? And this is the same thing. It's like, you know, no one's actually against this who has a sense of what the reality is. If you understand the reality of undocumented people here, then you understand that there has to be a way to make them legal.
Yeah.
Because we can't just have this mass of people who are here for generations, who can't access basic services, who cost us money in the ER because they can't pay taxes. Yeah. Not because they don't want to, but because they can't.
Can't.
Yeah. You know, who can't drive legally in a lot of states, and so can't, don't, you know, aren't able to purchase insurance. Like, all of these things that make it sucky for us to have undocumented people. Yes. It's expensive to take care of undocumented people. This, anyone who knows the reality knows that we have to figure out a way to make them legal.
And
it's, the reality is not to deport all of them. That's not a thing that we can do.
And as terrible as John Boehner is, I do think that he is smart enough to realize
he knows
that. There are people in his caucus who are not smart enough to put those ideas, have those ideas in their brains.
They are not having a lot of ideas in his party currently brains.
No, exactly. John Boehner is a person who knows
those
things.
I think that as a person who's moved to tears by his own story of success, he's a person who knows.
Yeah.
He understands the glories of succeeding in the American dream and all that bullshit. He's a guy who knows. It's just that he doesn't know that his job is to partially do what's right.
Right. Or
that representing his constituents is partially doing the right thing.
He also doesn't understand what his job is really at all.
Right. Because he seems to think that there's just too many laws out there, so really what he should be focusing on is, well, he wants his Congress to be judged by how many laws they repeal.
They repeal. This is the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
This is the man,
the legislative branch of government, whose job is to enact law.
Yes. His job is to create new laws.
Correct.
That we will then use to enforce civility and other things in society. But instead, this is a man who believes that a mark of success for his tenure would be to do the exact opposite of his job and to instead just repeal laws because, quote, we have too many.
Have too many.
Here's
more laws than the administration could ever enforce, quote.
Here's a question. Is he considering, like, obsolete laws that have basically been written out of existence as current laws? You know how, like, sometimes you'll write a law and then later you'll write a law that kind of, like, makes the other law irrelevant?
Sure.
Is he thinking that all of those laws are currently just out there being, because,
yeah, how many laws does he think we have?
How many laws does he think we have that are, like, relevant? Like, is he still thinking that town laws that, require people to wear long pants on Sundays are, like, laws that are, like, sure, you could repeal
those. Yeah, repeal that if you want.
But why not just leave it and not deal with it because no one's enforcing it?
Right.
I mean,
we're going to get to somebody who wants to start enforcing one of those laws a little bit later in the podcast.
His job is not to enforce laws, so it shouldn't be his concern whether or not we can enforce them. If Obama were to be like, you know what, guys? We're not able to enforce all of these laws that you're passing.
Right.
Which he would never say because no one's passed a law.
The legislative branch doesn't have to worry about that.
No.
They can pass a law every minute of every day until the end of time, until somebody says to them, look, guys.
Right. Here's
the problem. It's not working out here.
We're not enforcing these laws. As
so
the executive, we're unable to enforce the laws. If Obama were publicly speaking about the trouble he's having enforcing the laws,
all of the laws that Congress
I would be like,
passing.
Fair, sure, slow down. But I would not say that that Boehner's job has ever been or could ever be just to repeal laws.
No.
As hard as he's tried to repeal Obamacare.
40 times.
Yeah. That's not really what his job is.
No.
His job is to come up with policy.
Yes.
Repealing laws is not policy.
Nope.
That's the absence of policy. It's the exact opposite of policy.
Well, it's hard when you don't have any ideas, you can't enact policy.
That's true.
So.
Right. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Ugh, like many
this
people.
This one just burns me.
Yeah.
This
first
law
of all.
Burns my butt.
First
you know,
of all.
My grandma used to say that, and then she'd say, you know what burns my butt? And she'd say, flames about this high off the ground. And the little hand motion.
Oh, folksy things to say.
Mm-hmm. 9-year-old
my grandparents were not as folksy as your grandparents, I don't think. Because you have a lot of interesting sayings that your grandparents or parents
or
said.
Or my dad has
or your dad's said. Just, like, full of folksy sayings. There are no folksy sayings being said.
Folksyville, Iowa.
There are a couple of times that I heard my grandparents tell me that children should be seen and not heard.
That's not the same thing.
Which is not the same thing. To which I replied that that was not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because as an only child, you don't have to listen to rules like that.
Sure.
But I've never heard them say anything folksy and adorable. Like, it sounds like your grandparents are just spouting left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, it turns out that
Mary
our own senators don't seem to know about one of the basic tenets of the American Constitution, which is the separation between church and state. Mm-hmm. We already know that the GOP has been having trouble with this concept.
Right.
For years, most specifically when they banned Sharia law.
Yes.
Because
they think we're a Christian nation.
Right.
Republicans.
That's a misreading of our history, because the founders were specifically trying to avoid us being a, quote, Christian nation.
I think it's one of the most common misreadings of our nation's history.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. If there's one thing that we know, it's that many of the framers of the Constitution were, in fact, not so thrilled with Christianity.
No, not at all.
And were actively trying to avoid it being, you know, I think our sort of moral codes are defined in many ways by Christianity.
I almost said hatred. Not necessarily hatred. At least distaste or disinterest, even, potentially, for some of them, of Christianity, as they were writing the Constitution, is why we have a separation of church and state.
Because they were sick of that bullshit.
Yes.
And
they were deists. They believed, most of them, they believed in a god. They sort of, you know, whatever. They believed there was a creator.
Right.
But they were not...
They were sort of open to whatever you
They
thought.
Weren't all going around talking about Jesus.
No.
That's not what the Founding Fathers were doing.
Incorrect.
Wasn't happening.
That's right. That's a pretty common misreading these days, and it is now a common misreading among the Democrats, because Mary Landrieu doesn't apparently know this basic tenet of
American law. The name of the bill is called the Freedom to Pray Act.
And that's
That fucking pisses me off, because...
Where don't you have the freedom to pray?
Few places.
You can fucking pray up a storm to yourself anywhere that you want.
All over.
You don't have the freedom to compel other people to
pray. There is not...
That's the only thing that you... Brent is allowed to pray right now. He is...
Adjusted.
He just did it. He's not allowed to force me to pray. He's not allowed to threaten me or in any way insinuate that I have to pray with him.
But you know who freedom to pray? Mary Landrieu or Lindsey Graham.
You had it.
I had it.
You had it already.
I didn't need a law.
You had it your whole life.
And also, this is another one of the classic laws that's called the Freedom to Pray Act, which is not that.
It doesn't give you the freedom to pray at all.
No.
Possibly because you already have that freedom.
Correct.
It would be impossible to give it to you because it exists already.
Right.
What it does do is give the government freedom to give your money to religious charities who then can compel people to pray for services.
Right. Basically, this law was sort of like passed... as sort of in response to something that happened where basically the federal government...
it's not passed, I don't think. It's just been...
Or it hasn't passed. Yeah. Right, exactly. Sorry.
Lindsey Graham out there.
Right. The federal government basically, like, told some group or something that they were going to, like, take their federal funds. I think it's, like, some kids group or something, wasn't it? Like, I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was a young Marines program that had religious content.
Right.
And they basically were like...
Right, it was getting money from the federal government.
The Justice Department has an Office of Civil Rights, and they investigated it, and they said that they couldn't give money to this organization because it was a religious organization, basically. Or that it was compelling people to participate in a religious aspect in order to get the services that, you know, are associated with it. Which is, I mean, is P.S. why all of us thought that Bush's strategy of just having us have private charities take care of everything was a problem, because that also is a problem for people that don't want the sort of religious content of a church charity.
They
exactly.
Get.
Think of the challenges I would have to face as a person who does not, who sort of actively avoids practicing religion.
Yeah.
That if I became homeless under a Bush plan, I'd probably have to sit through some bullshit in order to get some food, you know?
Yeah, you definitely would.
Because people aren't just giving food to atheists anymore.
Nope.
So, in any case, Mary Landrieu's on our list.
Big time.
Because also, don't be a Democrat with this bullshit.
No.
Couldn't someone pull her aside and be like, listen.
I think she's up for re-election. I'm almost certain.
And she's in Louisiana.
And she's
so
in Louisiana.
Being a person.
She's playing playing to the base.
Yeah. Don't trust her base.
No.
Someone in Louisiana tells you they have an idea about when you can and cannot pray. Just don't trust them.
Nope.
They don't know.
Do not know.
In other news...
Oh, boy. Detroit.
Detroit had apparently not yet been bankrupt.
I know.
Because they just filed.
They just filed for bankruptcy.
I was under the impression that Detroit's been bankrupt...
For 60 years.
Yeah.
And their governor even said as much, basically. He said... I don't know if the quote is in here, but he said... He says, this is a difficult step, but the only viable option to address a problem that has been 6 decades in the making. That was Michigan Governor Rick Snyder.
Yeah.
So they are $18.5 billion.
They're in debt because of mismanagement?
That doesn't sound entirely right.
It's not the problem.
It doesn't sound...
I mean, I would guess that that's a problem in a city that has no people in it.
And that's the main problem. I think
the problem is that no one lives there anymore.
It's mismanagement, and it's also because that no one lives there, they have no tax revenue.
Exactly.
So they're sort of like, you know, I mean...
That's what...
Like,
there's no money coming in. There's no one to oversee the money that's going out. Because no one's there.
Like, at a certain point, if no one's there, like, do you need to file for bankruptcy? Or do you just sort of pack it in?
Exactly. Like, I mean, just sort of allow yourself to be taken over by other cities.
Just call it quits.
Could you just be...
Well, that's what everybody's doing anyway.
Like, annexed by suburbs of Detroit?
Well, that sort of has what... That's what's been happening. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the prime example of urban sprawl. I mean, it's just sort of like, there's no...
It's a city with no center.
That's what I was just going to say.
It's like the extreme Los Angeles.
It is.
It's like Dallas or something.
Right.
Somewhere horrible in Texas. I bet they're having that problem in Texas.
Probably.
But yeah, it's a city that was built by a center that disappeared.
Yeah.
And because people live in Detroit, in the Detroit area.
That's
full of people. Just people everywhere, just living around, doing stuff.
Yeah.
But none of them live in this. None of them live in Detroit proper. They all live in the outskirts of Detroit, in various wealthy suburbs, in middle class suburbs. And if you want to have food and be alive in Detroit, you have to live in the suburbs of Detroit.
Right.
It's not.
Or you have to hunt squirrels. Raccoons.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's a famous thing that's going on, which is too bad because Detroit is a city with some very beautiful ruins that I think would make a nice headquarter for someone.
And trees that are the perfect height.
Yeah. Exactly. When you have a combination of perfect ruins and perfect height trees, how things fall apart from there is a mystery.
Yep, exactly.
But I would think, if I were like the tech sector or some young, fashionable sector like that, I would be like, you can buy a house for $17 here. We could all own mansions.
Right.
If we could just put some damn grocery stores in, a bunch of young people can move in here and make this trendy again.
Yep.
Let's move into the old GM building, which is like a beautiful old building that makes the municipal building in New York City look like a, you know, shanty town.
Yeah.
And let's just have some fun in these mansions that we were built in the golden age of the automobile and have just been falling into ruin.
Yeah.
Because I personally
would like
love the opportunity to work in an aging, you know, corporate mansion.
Yeah, you could get a lot of, like, little, like, hipstery-type places going
on. Really?
I mean...
Well, that's what they're trying to do in Las Vegas. That's
Detroit
what the guy from Zappos
is doing.
Detroit
is for hipsters.
Right. It's a perfect, ironic place to live.
Oh, my God.
And they're trying to do that in Las Vegas. The guy from Zappos moved his headquarters down there because he thought that they could revitalize downtown Las Vegas. And I was sort of like, why...
Where is that?
Exactly.
I've been to Las Vegas 100 times. I don't know
where. And also, why would you want to live in Las Vegas?
Is that by Caesars?
Here's the issue in Las Vegas, is that you don't want to go outside. So, like, to live there, you have to do that.
Yes.
So, to move to downtown Las Vegas is like, don't do that. There's nothing there. You have to build something new. It's a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Move to Detroit. It's a little cold there, but you'll get used to it.
The Shell is there.
There's beautiful buildings there for the taking, and you could buy a house for, like, $7.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be an ugly McMansion.
No.
Beautiful historic homes for sale for nothing.
Nothing.
You have to eat raccoon to stay alive, but... If enough of you move there, they could open an organic local food store or whatever.
Raccoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Food store.
There could be some urban farming opportunities. People in Oakland are loving
urban farmers.
Yeah.
This is a place that people who live in Brooklyn could really get on board with.
Yes.
This is like a very... This could be the...
Guys,
Detroit could be the next Williamsburg.
I was going to say, remember when Williamsburg was just Williamsburg, which is sort of like an industrial outpost with a bunch of Hasidic Jews and nobody else?
Now it's like the most ironic place to live in the country.
Exactly. This Red Hook, my God. Red Hook is a fairway now. You can put a fairway in Detroit. There's plenty of room for fairways.
Yeah.
Nothing but room. It's like, chaos.
Yeah.
Dumbo, which has always been right next to Brooklyn Heights, but it was like this horrible industrial area for years.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
It was the kind of place where they were still having the kind of doorbells where you had the wire going out the window and you dropped your keys to the neighbors and stuff. Like, well into the 90s and early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
That place, one of the fanciest places you could possibly live now.
Sure.
It's real fancy.
Great coffee shops, I bet.
Great coffee shops. One of the most famous pizzerias in New York. Mm-hmm. A local artisanal ice cream store.
Ah, yes.
I mean, really everything that you
Another
need.
Classic.
Yeah. So, Detroit, we have some ideas. We'll fix this.
Yeah.
We'll get this
fixed. We should do it. I don't know how.
Another news. Boy. This may not surprise you, because it didn't surprise me.
No, it didn't.
That North Dakota abortion law that bans abortion after, like, 6 weeks, not constitutional, as it turns out.
Says the federal judge, it is clearly invalid and unconstitutional and is in direct contradiction to a litany of United States Supreme Court cases addressing restraints on abortion.
This is the kind of law, I mean, this is the kind of case where when you're a judge, you're sort of like, great, I'm going to take a nap. You guys talk. I've already made a decision because right. this is absurd.
I don't really need to be here, but I've...
No, but I'm being paid.
I've shown up. Yep.
I've come here just to let you know that I already right. know the outcome of this case, and right. you don't even have to say anything.
I have a general understanding right. of law. Some laws.
And that's all I need.
And that's all I need.
Yeah.
You don't even need to be a federal judge.
No,
You just need to be a thinking person.
You need to be a person who's heard that there was a Supreme Court case called Roe v. Wade, and that is still valid.
right.
Once that's still valid overturned. Law and yet to be overturned, this law becomes a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, I am still sort of, like, under the impression that... I mean, there have been a lot of people who have said that, like, we're going to hear some abortion yeah. laws in the Supreme Court again soon, probably. And I think to a certain... I often wonder if some of these state laws are... If the people who are enacting them sort of know that they are unconstitutional
yeah.
in a way that can potentially just get them heard in front of the Supreme Court.
Well, that's what I think this is about. I don't think this is... A law like this is not...
Nobody who writes this actually thinks that this is going to be enacted. You can't.
No.
You can't.
It's too crazy.
You can't be a lawmaker and write this law and think that it's going to happen.
Right.
You can't.
Right. If you did the research to even use the correct jargon words in this law, you right. know that this law is unconstitutional.
Correct.
What you're trying to do is force a case in the Supreme Court, and if enough states do it, they think they can do it, and
yep.
I'm sure they can, and I'm sure that they'll do something horrifying and win and ruin everyone's
Probably.
Lives. And that's, you know, that's fine, I guess, if that's their strategy. I would argue that this is going to be a dead issue before their strategy becomes relevant, because
yeah.
this is not... They don't have the kind of broad support on this that they're acting like they do.
No.
It's the kind of thing that, like, when it happened the first time, everyone was against abortion until they realized they didn't care. Everyone was against gay marriage until they realized they didn't care. Like... This is the kind of thing that all you have to do is not care about it. You don't have to feel strongly that you're in favor of it.
Right.
You know, no one's strongly in favor of abortions.
No.
They're a pain in the ass. You don't want to have an abortion.
No.
Nobody does.
No.
But, no, it's only a matter of how much you care about being against them.
Right.
And you just can't care enough to be following no. this nonsense through court.
Stop caring.
Stop caring. I said, like, white men in North Dakota... Like, get over yourselves.
I know.
Just stop caring.
So, I know.
If you don't want your daughters and wives to have abortions, express that opinion to them, and let them decide if you have a valid point of view, which
mm-hmm.
you don't. But, I mean, that's what you can do about this. You
yeah.
can stop the people around you from having abortions.
Or try.
I mean, you can, but that can be your, you can make an effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But your wives and daughters are going to be able to get abortions because you're going to make sure that your love child is not born, you know,
yeah,
and
exactly.
kicking you out of office. So this is not really even an issue that you care about. So just stop yourself right now.
Yep.
It's over. Speaking of things that are over, Ray Kelly's bid for Homeland Security Advisor's shortlist.
Yeah. Well, people...
Here's why. We're talking about Mr. Stop and Frisk himself.
Yeah.
You know what's not popular in an age of Trayvon and overt racism?
Stop and Frisk.
Yeah. I have a friend
yeah.
who started a Twitter account that just... pulls data from police reports in the NYPD police reports about stop and frisk incidents and uses their own language to describe the incident. It's really fascinating.
I love
it. It sort of took off and she was like, I don't know how this like suddenly like this went viral. I don't know how like Mashable called her all of a sudden or something.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like fascinating because you see like the actual language is so like vague and ridiculous for those incidents that you're sort of like, why is this not
right.
something that we've addressed before?
Yeah.
Like, why is this happening?
I know, right?
But in any case, he's basically out because it's too controversial. People are protesting and nonsense. And the president was sort of like, well, he's qualified and was an outstanding leader and blah, blah, blah. But at this point, it's like not worth the controversy, I don't think.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because Ray Kelly is the epitome of the annoying police chief. The sort of like crazy... Sort of like in the style of a mob leader, chief who
that's
just like
that's not who you want.
I mean, he basically turned New York into like a martial law environment. Like he was like Giuliani's nonsense. It's crazy. Anyway, I have not seen the latest newsroom, but Brent has.
I moved this weekend, and like the only thing that I wanted to do last night at like 11 o'clock was like shower and watch the newsroom, which I did because I had internet, so I watched it on HBO to go. Like that was like I am obsessed with the show. I was talking to Grant Sloss, who's been on the podcast,
friend
of the podcast, today, and I was just sort of like, The newsroom, I love every part of it. I love the parts that I'm hugging myself right now in a very dramatic way. And I have my head sort of like cocked, like in ecstasy sort of. Like, I love every single thing about the show. I love the things that I know are bad. I love the things that are self-important. I love the things that are ridiculous. I love the stupid show open.
I hate the show open.
It's new this year.
I hated both of them.
It's ridiculous.
There hasn't been a moment.
Maybe a little less ridiculous. I love watching that. It's like sort of like an old show open. It's really long and it's really overindulgent and just sort of like every time it comes
really
on, I'm like
self-absorbed.
Yes, the show, the music, and just like everything. I do think there are a lot of great things about the show, too.
There are great things about the show.
I like a lot of the things that are sort of terrible about it. Like
I have reached a point with all Aaron Sorkin shows where I can no longer stand the music. And that's what I hate about the show open. That guy, Snuffy Walden or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah.
Snuffy Walden. Like, why is this guy having this name? He's like a pretty popular
composer. Is that who did
composer.
It?
Yeah. Okay. He does all of Aaron Sorkin shows. Okay. And every time that you like see like a Spielberg trailer where you're like stop it, like with like a War Horse type trailer where you're just sort of like stop
Wars
with yourself right now, that's music that was probably composed by H.G. Snuffy Walden. And so when I hear the show open, I'm just sort of like, oh, stop yourself. You are not the history of cinema. This is
no,
like it's just
that's
like
what
so
it is.
Self-important.
I know.
And then to have the old news clips in the last season where I was just sort of like, oh my god. And then this season...
Oh, they have that, too. There's bombs going off.
There's bombs. It's
so
some
good.
Real banana pants nonsense.
And also, I love that Marsha Gay Harden is on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I love Marsha Gay Harden. I love everything that Marsha Gay Harden has ever been in, including all of the Lifetime movies. I love that she played Amanda Knox's mom on that. She's not turning down roles.
She's not afraid.
Ever. She's not afraid to do anything. She won a freaking Oscar, for God's sake. And then she's on Lifetime movies. I love that. I love The Mist, that Stephen King movie that she was in where she played the creepy, religious, crazy person.
It might
person.
Not surprise you to find that I did not
you
see
You did not
movie.
See that. The Mist is one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. I love everything about her, so her presence is making me really happy. But there's, like, just dumb storylines with, like, the...
Oh,
there's
boy.
The YouTube video. I thought maybe that was over after the first episode, but
nope.
It has only just begun.
Right.
That is dumb. It should stop, but every time it happens, I'm always what's going to happen here? This is so stupid. I just can't wait.
They're taking on... Occupy Wall Street in the most like in the tone.
He got arrested last night at an Occupy rally.
Stop himself.
Yes, and then Will McAvoy went to go bail him out.
Of course he did. This is
made a real dramatic scene about
the tone with which they're discussing Occupy Wall Street is the tone with which I imagine that like an elderly grandfather type figure views. They're sort of like that's adorable that these kids are up to this.
Yeah.
We'll put our kid character in there and every cliche like. I have been to Occupy Wall Street and not been arrested. That's possible. Every cliche thing that could possibly have happened has happened.
Yeah.
He somehow knew about it before it happened, even though only like 50 people did.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow believed... Like, here's the thing about Occupy Wall Street. It sort of accidentally got really popular. It just struck a nerve with a bunch of young people, and that's how it got so big. Nobody expected it to get that big.
No.
The people in the park who were organizing before it did not realize that it was going to become this national... an international thing.
Yeah.
It was just a thing that they were going to do. They were a bunch of, you know, far lefties who were going to do something, civil disobedience-y to kind of make a point near Wall Street. I take issue with newsroom's implication that people could tell that this was going to be a thing.
He also sort of knew that the Arab Spring was happening, though. Remember?
I know.
He's the
kind of knowledge that you can only have from the future.
Correct. Right.
Which
is
the kind
the show
has.
Yeah, exactly. We found out a little bit last night what Operation Genoa is, which is this thing that sort of is going to, you know, breaks presidencies and makes careers or whatever from the new producer from Washington or whatever.
Right.
It's that that guy who was on talking about drones or whatever
that guy who spouted off
that conversation. Told him about how the Americans used sarin gas in Pakistan or whatever. So basically what's going to happen is like they're going to think that that's like a real thing and they're going to report on it, and that's what Marsha Gay Harden has shown up to do because she's their lawyer or something, right? Yeah. She wasn't on last night's episode, which was highly upsetting, but anyway.
Not what you want. Also, you don't want What's-Her-Face to be getting that weird haircut.
No, I don't know what's going on with that. Oh, she's going to Africa.
I know. And then she's going to end up with a weird haircut.
Yeah, and we found out that she's like, that was weird,
she's having some sort of breakdown. But the breakdown involves getting the least attractive haircut a person has ever received.
Well, I think she's like going to get kidnapped in Africa. Or
yeah, that's
like
what you doing. That's yeah. When you come back from Africa with that haircut, that's what's happened to you.
Yeah, because basically she's
you didn't
going,
go and see sad things and then get a dumb haircut.
She lobbies Mackenzie to right. go to Africa with this other guy who works in the newsroom, basically, right. and sort of like somehow talks her into it in a very sort of like roundabout logic that sort right. of is
doesn't it's not clear
suspect. Yeah, yeah, and so. She's finally like, okay, book your travel. And so then, like, seconds later, like, she and the guy hear that, like, a bunch of people, like, died in a protest in the city that they're going to after she had just told Mackenzie that it was a very safe place to go. And then they're like, shh, let's not tell Mackenzie and we'll just go anyway. As if Mackenzie is somehow, like, not going to find out that there's, like, right. giant protests, like, in the place that she's sending her newsroom.
As a news producer, she can't
executive
find
producer.
Out news.
She's not going to know facts.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway. The Newsroom is maybe my favorite show on television. And it was funny, when I was talking to Grant today, he was like, I haven't seen The Newsroom last night, how was it? And I was like, it is either so terrible that I just Dive. Don't know,
right.
or don't care, or it's so good. It's like...
It's an extreme. It's one extreme.
Right, my feelings about it are either 100% warranted, or I'm just wrong about it all. Because, like, I just feel like...
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, it's television and not late night television, but news television is the kind of topic that Aaron Sorkin's voice is well suited to. Because he basically writes the same show tonally everywhere he goes. He's just sort of walking around writing the same yeah. show to whatever setting it's taking place in. It worked great in Sports Night
mm-hmm.
because before the laugh track incident started. but I mean, it was suited to that. And it's suited to Newsroom. It wasn't particularly suited to Studio 60.
No, it wasn't.
It was suited to the White House, though.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Because it's the kind of thing that, like, news people and wonks, yes. like, can really dive into.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the Newsroom is sort of, like, the natural movement that...
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, the next natural frontier for him. So it sort of, like, suits him well. The problem is that everyone has watched a billion seasons of The West Wing, and he reuses the same jokes and quippy dialogue over and over, and so everyone is just talking lines that other people have spoken.
Right. Well, he writes so much dialogue that just...
No one can act. You don't have time to act in that.
Right, and just chances are that you're going to reuse a line of dialogue, because he's used every line of dialogue that anyone may utter to another person.
Exactly.
Just in the amount of... things yeah. that he's written over time.
Right.
Because there's just so much talking.
Yeah.
And which is interesting, because I don't like shows that have that much talking generally. It's why I can't sit through more than like 30 seconds of The Gilmore Girls.
I was about to say, what are your feelings about Gilmore Girls?
I hate it. I hate The Gilmore Girls, like, upsets me in like a very, very like visceral way. I don't like it at all. Like,
interesting.
I really just can't stand
it. I enjoy a good Gilmore
but
Girls
for the
episode.
Reason, for reasons that don't bother me on Newsroom.
Interesting.
It's the talking on The Gilmore Girls that annoys me. But the same sort of choreographed speaking on The Newsroom has...
Do you like a good walk and talk sequence? You like a camera to just sit there and follow people down a hallway walking briskly?
Mm-hmm.
And they can just walk in circles?
Yep.
And you can just listen to them talk?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing on
that's
Newsroom.
It.
That's what you do.
All right. That was a long Newsroom digression.
Well,
but
someone had to say it.
It's... Everybody should be watching it. If you're not, you should be.
Yeah.
Just...
I would argue that it's worth watching.
It's good. I mean, I'm being sort of probably overdramatic about how maybe bad
it's,
sometimes.
Here's
it,
the
it
issue.
It always has, like, an annoying plot point that goes on for too long,
yeah.
and also, like, some sort
it's
of, like...
It's not The West Wing. And because of that, there's an unattainable standard that it's not reaching.
Right.
So everyone's sort of up in arms.
Yeah.
But it's fine. You should watch
yeah.
it. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Just don't not watch it.
Don't not watch it.
Watch
okay.
Veep, and then watch
yes.
The Newsroom.
Final news. This is
great
awesome.
News.
There's a lot of
I mean, it's not great news, but it
no.
is great news in
so,
the entertainment sense.
Ken Cuccinelli, who is running for... I almost said mayor of Virginia. That's wrong. He's running for the governor of Virginia. He's running against, what's his name? Terry McAuliffe.
Right.
Who is horrible in
himself,
different ways.
Right.
Is trying to... He's petitioning a federal court to reinstate the Crimes Against Nature law, which if you can think of what that may be, you're right.
Right.
Because he thinks that crimes against nature are sodomy and
yes.
oral sex.
We're going back to those days.
Yeah. This is the candidate for the governor of Virginia wants to go back to this.
Yeah. So that's happening.
That's happening.
Right next to Washington, D.C.
Right. You want to know who wasn't very happy about that?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg on The View.
Someone who Brent and I were pointing out might not have any sort of sexual orientation. We couldn't really identify it.
No. We know she's been with men, but right. I mean, we don't.
We don't know any. We don't speculate about Whoopi Goldberg's personal life.
No.
She's the kind of person that you don't. She seems like a person sort of independently of other people.
Yeah. But she said, well, Jesse Tyler Ferguson was on.
Right.
I guess
he got married.
Just got married. And so she said, I don't remember God saying anything about you coming in my bedroom and telling me what to do. This is in regards to Cuccinelli.
Right.
So, sir, you're not going to become the governor if you stay on this track. I'm going to make sure you're not going to become governor. I do not know what that means.
But
God bless her.
Good.
I mean,
it's a good plan if it is a plan.
If Whoopi Goldberg's plan is to off Ken Cuccinelli, then
yeah, sure, do it.
Sure.
That's not the worst thing you could be doing with your time. It's fine.
Oh, God. Anyway. It's so wild to me.
That's, like, so many steps backwards.
And he claims that it's only...
He had to try.
It's only in... He is saying that it's only for, in response to, underage...
Right.
...people. But it's just, it's like, obviously, that is not... Sort of,
also,
like, necessarily where he's going with this.
It's not illegal for underage people to have sex, like, if they're straight. Like, how is this protecting straight underage people? Like, you do want laws to protect old people from, like, being pederasts, you know?
Well, sure.
Or children from pederasts.
Yes.
That's something we all, regardless of sexual orientation, children of all genders are being sexually abused, and that is wrong.
Yeah.
But the way that this is worded and framed sort of just makes it a silly, nonsensical, like, 1850s-style stab at nonsense.
Right. Well, he and...
Back when we were a Christian
He and Antonin Scalia can get together and talk about how terrible sodomy is.
Yeah.
Because he's still hung up on that, too.
I know. Well, he's obsessed with it.
Maybe they can invite Rick Santorum as their special dinner guest.
The most sodomy-obsessed trio of men.
Talk about gay sex gay. All night.
Exactly.
Just really...
Really dive in.
Have a circle jerk over gay sex. They can just actually have it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what their obsession is ultimately about. So,
yeah,
it would be appropriate.
Well, anyway, there you have it.
That's the news.
That's it.
We'll started with the new baby and ended with gay sex. as any good news program will. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you next week. Be smart. You know, make good choices about your Trayvon rallies. Don't get arrested.
Don't.
But I mean, if you need to, do it.
Yeah.
Just don't get hurt.
Right.
If you need to get arrested, do it.
Right.
Just
don't get arrested for her, or don't get arrested for hurting others.
Right.
We don't want that either.
Don't shoot anybody this week.
No.
We ask.
Do not. No. Nobody should be standing their ground this week.
Right. If you see someone who's bothering you, and the police tell you to just leave that person alone, walk away and lock a door. It's the right thing to do.
Don't shoot them.
Don't shoot them. Don't have a gun.
Nope.
Anyway, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.